Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. Unmatched selection, fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection. Over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. We have a lot of NFL to talk about, a little bit of college basketball to talk about. I want to start, though, with the NBA. Which is, look, I'm not going to sit here and be critical of every dude sitting out every game. I'm just not. Obviously, the Spurs were the ones who started it, and they had success doing it in resting guys, and there was a time in which they would actually put down out because he's old, right? They actually did that with Tim Duncan. I thought that was great. It was hilarious. It was fun at the time, and it was honest. The league did not like that, so they had to come up with some sort of injury or became load management, and that's where the expression came. But there's a difference between playing the Bulls on a Wednesday night or playing, I don't know, the Hornets on any night. And playing the team with the MVP, and you have a player who wants to be the MVP. You know, this is kind of our issue we have with most kids now, which is everybody wants the reward, but do you actually want to do the work for the reward? Because what happens is we all end up making excuses and be like, that's where the participation trophy thing kind of comes in. Obviously, when you're little, like I remember when my son was little and he'd get a trophy at the end of the season, he'd put that thing up and he'd just stare at it for hours. Dad, you see my trophy? But at some point, we evolve into adults. And the best of us, or the most achieved, the people who achieve the most, are the ones that are the most competitive. And I just can't fathom any sort of way in which anybody who calls themselves a competitor and a guy who's won an award that you want to win the last 2 years. And last year you thought, I'm better than him, and you sit when your team plays him? I've never heard of such a thing. And look, we can sit here and be critical of the Sixers, because the Sixers are going to say, hey, this was our call. We can back up Joel Embiid's decision because he has had an often injured portion of his career. I get it. That guy's been hurt a lot, especially early in his career when people were trying to figure out, is it his diet? Is it his weight? What is the deal? Why is he not playing? Understand, these things can be explanations or they can be excuses. But what are we actually doing? You know? He played Saturday in Phoenix. They go to Denver on a Monday. They had a day off in between. Now they have a day off. They go home. They play Philadelphia. They go to Philadelphia. They play Dallas and Toronto. Then they go to Milwaukee. Then home to Miami, Boston, at Atlanta, at Brooklyn. And then they're getting ready for the playoffs. Like, what are we actually doing? Oh, yeah, by the way, they had lost two in a row. You're trying to figure out what's what before you get ready for the postseason. But more than anything, guy's trying to win an award. Trying to win an award. He had 46 the other night against Golden State in a loss, but had 46. Great performance. So what's going to happen is if he doesn't get the award, you got dudes like Kendrick Perkins saying, well, it's because, you know, it's because Jokic's skin color. That's why. You got other people, well, it's analytics. Like, or maybe just play. Just play. If you're good enough, we'll all see it. If you're better than him, we'll all see it. I'm not disputing that your calf hurts or your knee hurts or whatever. If the playoffs were played last night, would he have played? Well, yeah. Well, yeah. So I don't blame anybody, not a single human being, if you don't want to vote for Embiid because he didn't play in a made for television, made for the internet sort of event against Nikola Jokic. By the way, last night, ho-hum, in a win. Granted, James Harden also didn't play. Only took 11 shots, had 25 points, 17 rebounds and 12 assists and 2 blocks. I don't know if he's the best player, but the best player doesn't always win the MVP. It's the guy who has the best, most consistent season. And it oftentimes, like, where is your competitive drive if you're not going to play in that game? That's a fair statement. And look, Jokic hasn't played in every game. You know? Last year he played 74, 72, 73. It's not like he's perfect. He'll play in the 70s, but you're not going to play with Embiid? Yeah, he's going to play when Embiid comes to town. How do you not? I wonder if are we taking the competitiveness out of these guys, or are they just not as competitive as we think they are? That therein lies the question. Because if you're really a competitor, you sit there and go like, I'm not hurt. I'm just hurting. I'm a little sore. I want to play. I want to kick his ass because I want to win the award. Last night, you could have won the award, could have won the MVP. And the only thing you do by not playing is open up the possibility of losing the MVP. If he played slightly better than you, then you go like, you know, he played a little better than me, but my whole season's been better than him. The only thing you can open yourself up to is criticism if you don't play. And that's okay if, one, you don't want to be a competitor, or two, and maybe most importantly, if you don't want to win the award. Like, if the award doesn't mean anything to you, that's fine. That's also fine. I'm okay if that's the answer. Hey, you know, I really want to win a championship. I don't actually care about the award. That's fine. But don't tell me, please don't tell me, hey, I want to win this award. I'm the best player in the league. I've played about the same number of games. You know, he's played 6 less games, but you don't play in that game. How can you not? Like, who does that? And it's not like they play each other 15 times a season. It's not like the Knicks and the Sixers that play each other all the time, or somebody. They're East and West. You get 2 shots. He just played. He's been playing well. What are we doing here? And then what are you doing if you're Adam Silver? Right? Like, your job is to promote this league. And I mean, can you imagine? What does that look like? Dan, help me out here. Like, there's no way that, I mean, how do you give a guy an MVP if he's not going to play in a game of that magnitude?
Yeah, it's very difficult. And it's also very difficult to think that the NBA really wants to improve this regular season for the fans. And I know it's not a league sort of thing, but who wouldn't have wanted, you know, to watch last night? And for a league that is struggling to make the regular season important, as we've talked about, even as much of trying to add play-in, or not play-in tournaments, but mid-season tournaments to try to get somebody to care, you know, at some point in January. Now here we are in late March ramping up for the playoffs and you can't get any, you know, buzz about it. Like, to me, it just even solidified more of the fact, and I don't think it was for the Sixers' playoff hopes, but that this is now becoming just a two-month league. And that's what's really, really disappointing. And yeah. And even the, you know, even the, it even lessens the argument about the MVP. And you said it off the top here, Embiid has been all, you know, it's been all up in his feelings about the MVP for the last couple of years.
Put on your uniform, tape up your ankles, yep, and get your ass out there and play.
Absolutely.
I don't want to hear a word about the MVP from you anymore. Because last night you said, I don't really want it. It's not, which is fine, right? If it's not that important to you, and winning a championship is all you care about, that's fine. But don't tell me you want to win the MVP and then you have a made-for-TV matchup and you decide not to play. And to anybody who goes like, well, the Sixers is bull. If Joel Embiid wants to play, Joel Embiid plays. Period. Stop. End of story. It's really frustrating. Hey, did you see this stat? And again, I've seen it tweeted. I haven't seen ESPN tweet it. But the Louisville, Iowa Women's College Basketball Elite Eight game. And full disclosure, I watched. My brother is a women's team coach at Grand Canyon. Okay, he's an assistant at Grand Canyon. I watched a full game of theirs versus UC Irvine. Actually, that's not true. I showed up midway through first quarter. And that game and I once did it was called Full Circle of the NCAA championship game where Rutgers played, right? That was right after the Imus comments. That was the day before. Anyway, those are the only two women's games I had watched start to finish until Sunday night. But I don't know if you saw the stat, but that game outdrew on ESPN any NBA game they've had all season. And this is why. It's not because your league isn't popular. Your league is crazy popular. But I'm not going to sit down and watch the game when I have no idea. Like, I'm not watching last night. I don't care. And I love basketball. I don't want to see him play against dudes. Like, James Harden's not playing and Joel Embiid's not playing. Why am I watching Sixers Nuggets? Help me, Jay Stu. How do you, do you vote for Joel Embiid to be MVP after last night?
No, I'm with you on this one. I fully agree with you. And then coming off the whole Kendrick Perkins thing from several weeks ago, where the vote for Jokic is a vote for white people, essentially, I think that he comes off a little even more tone deaf on this one because he played, he got the triple double, and then just to kind of rub it in after the game, he had nothing but praise for Embiid. I like that touch too. And by the way, I went down a rabbit hole for Caitlin Clark. You said that you watched the Iowa game the other night. Mm-hmm. I went down a rabbit hole and I was watching her highlights. I recommend to our listeners you do this. Her like pulling up for logo threes on fast breaks and stuff. It's crazy. It's really fun to watch. So I'm a Caitlin Clark fan.
I am too. And I've long, like most men's basketball players, long made fun of the women's game. Or pointed out, you know, the WNBA and some of the ridiculous asks for salary and private travel, whatever, because there just isn't or hasn't to this point been the money there to back that up. It's only about economics, not about feelings. But I got to tell you, I can't miss. And then the Final Four, she's going against South Carolina. It's like the best defensive team in the country and the defending national champs. Like, and I want to watch that now, too. I want to see how it works. And she wasn't perfect. She had, I think she had like 9 turnovers too. She almost had a quadruple double. But dude, she was pulling up and dropping dimes, and it was fun. It was a lot like how I would imagine Larry Bird play when he was at Indiana State. Making everybody better, shooting crazy shots, and just, it was fun. But again, to the point is, like, women's basketball has increased in popularity. It's not that popular. The NBA is super popular, but nobody knows who's going to be on. So people are like, even super fans like me will go like, I can't do it. It's nuts. I mean, I felt bad. My son, you know, I took him to the Laker game last week. LeBron wasn't healthy, wasn't playing yet. Anthony Davis did play. They played against the Suns. Totally get Kevin Durant, who's just now cleared to play, going to come back and play. Wasn't yet cleared. But DeAndre Ayton didn't play. Like, come on, man. What are we doing here? I don't know. So my big takeaway, and Dan, if you disagree with it, you're more than welcome to. I just think last night is just, I don't want to hear about the MVP from Embiid or any Embiid's people anymore.
Yeah, I don't want to. I feel guilty sometimes, Doug, because I feel like I am always harping on the NBA. And, you know, I need to celebrate the Sacramento Kings, you know, who are still that magic number of one of getting into the postseason, or Oklahoma City. You know, trying to get into the play-in tournament. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. The point is there are good things happening in the NBA, but I always feel like I harp negatively on it. And I just think it's an overall, again, another big picture sort of thing. I don't know how many people have NBA TV. You know, I'm not sure, but it would have been an opportunity for people to tune into that game and to see, the head-to-head matchup. Just on a Monday night, when, again, there's nothing really going on outside of the women's, you know, the two games there, that's it. And it's not there, and it doesn't happen. And it's just like, oh, well, okay, playoffs start in 3 weeks anyway. So.
I think you actually nailed it with the last part, which is there was nothing else on. Nothing else on. I tried to watch the game, and I turned it off when I saw Harden and Embiid weren't playing. And so I was watching the finale of The Bachelor, which was the worst crap TV I've ever seen in my life. Like, it's devolved. It's so bad. I was just sitting there going, like, I can't stand these people. Why am I watching this? And I had a couple buddies at my house, and we're watching. They're like, why are you watching this? I was like, there's nothing on. Like, well, what about? There's literally nothing on.
You were watching it with buddies?
Well, I was cooking tacos. I made tacos, and then we were just hanging around, and I like flipped around, and I, you know, you get like a channel sticks on one, and then I'm watching, and I'm texting friends like, this is the most annoying thing ever. And then they were like, why are we watching this? I was like, there's nothing else on. And there was really nothing else on. That's really it. That's it.
This is the best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
NBA fans, listen up. You gotta try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound? Or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the code Doug. Take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the code Doug. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have
have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show broadcasts live every day from sunny Southern California inside the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. Unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, it's the way tire buying should be. I got my cafeteria story, but I love this one. Did you see this? Isaiah Thomas wants a public apology from Michael Jordan. Yeah. Do you guys see that story? I love this story. This is Showtime Basketball. He went on and said, you go on national television, you call me an a-hole, then you say you hated me. You said that on national television. Now, if you don't mean it, get on national television and apologize. Yeah. Okay. And I know he talked about his relationship with Magic Johnson. Look, everybody hated Isaiah Thomas because he did things that you don't do. You know, you don't allegedly tell people that about the way in which you think Magic Johnson contracted HIV when you're supposed to be best friends. Right. You don't do that. And you don't echo. He already had to go on. He had to go on national TV at the time, but apologize for saying that that Larry Bird would just be another guy if he wasn't white. You know, and he never owned up to icing out Michael Jordan, freezing him out during his rookie All-Star game. Like, there's a bunch of stuff. Like, I do feel a bit of sympathy for Isaiah Thomas, but not so much. Like, I think one of the things that's happening is people are recognizing how great a player he was. And now you're starting to go like, hey, wait, what possibly could have happened that he wasn't on the dream team? Like, oh, nobody liked him. I was told specifically that several people on that team were like, I'm not going if Isaiah Thomas is going. And not all of them were players. Anyway. This show is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save progressive.com. Buyer, when did you grow? When did you hit your growth spurt and height?
About seventh grade.
Did you have the little eighth grade mustache that some kids would get?
Absolutely. I had a mustache that I was afraid to shave because they told me it would grow back.
Yes.
So a little cookie duster in eighth grade. I played center on the eighth grade basketball team, and I've been about 5'10 and a half ever since. The Domino's worker thought I was a woman when I called in for placing an order, voice changing.
Hi.
Yep.
Can I get a large pizza? Yes.
Complete Peter Brady. Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. All of that.
What about you, Jay Stu? When did you grow?
I was a later bloomer, probably around ninth grade. So I was very insecure about the people like Dan who did it earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. You saw him like in the the showers at PE, you know, and you're like, whoa, what's going on? You know.
Ramos?
Eighth grade. Yeah, okay. I could tell because my seventh grade picture and then my eighth grade picture looked totally different. You could tell something happened in between those years.
Yeah, so I was end of eighth grade. I was 5 feet tall and 102 pounds. And my dad had already like made the decision like I was holding back. So I held back and
So 14 months later, 14, 15 months later, when I enrolled in high school, I was like 5'9 and a half, 125 pounds.
Right, so you grew 9 inches? And yes. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. So my son is on the same kind of growth pattern. Like he will finish up. He'll be in eighth grade next year, but it's like a holdback. Like he's in a school where you're like kind of in seventh, kind of in eighth, but we put him in it just for this specific purpose. And I mean, he's basically a seventh grader. And so he's like 4'11 and a half. I'm sure he'll be 5 feet by the time we get to the end of eighth grade. And he's a little lighter than me, but again, I don't know what he'll be by the end of eighth grade. Now, if he's in the 90s, I think he's like 92 pounds right now. Anyway, so I used to go to these summer basketball camps. And, you know, I've always been a good student, but it's because I don't love homework, but I do kind of pay attention. Interesting teachers I pay attention to. So somehow, like, I was super in on the milk thing. So this is a real thing. Cafeterias. I would go to several basketball camps in the summer. One would be at Westmont College, which is, that's in, what's that town called, J. Stu, where it's incredibly bougie now and rich, but it's Montecito. But Westmont College is an NAIA school, and they have this basketball camp, still have it. It's called Snow Valley. There's also one in Iowa. Shout out to Snow Valley Basketball School. I used to go there, but I used to also go to camps at UCSB. And I never forget that that after that first year of eighth grade, you know, I was getting ready, you know, technically age to go to high school. So I got to go to the superstar camp, was at UC Santa Barbara. And both camps, I would go to the cafeteria, I would drink 4 glasses of milk. But they had the little glasses, right? They were like, probably like, I think they're like 4 ounces, not 8 ounces. But I would drink 4 glasses of milk at every meal because I thought that would help me grow. And it would make my bones strong because I saw it on some TV commercial, right? That your bones are strong when you drink milk. Well, but Jay Stu, did you do anything like hang upside down, stretch extra when you're frustrated you weren't growing?
I don't know if the growth for me, that I was always average. Here's the problem. I'm an October baby, so I was always like turning age like the fall after everybody else did. I was always young for my age group. And that could have like a traumatic effect when everybody else is growing and stuff. But the insecurities came from just like the voice changes and then getting hair in certain parts and you're like, what's going on? And then of course kids are really mean. They'll make fun of you for not having hair in certain parts.
Sure.
But no, I don't remember any tactics to try to, I don't remember putting any Rogaine on any, you know, like armpits.
Really?
Or like,
I'm sorry. I have to. There was never any poking of fun in my growing up of.
Well,
hair.
You grew up in Mayberry, dude. We grew up in Orange County. Okay. They're hardcore here.
Okay.
Yeah, they're
maybe
pretty. They're cruel.
Maybe
out here.
It's different. I don't know. I just that,
no. I mean,
that was
like,
never
I,
an experience.
I think it's a real thing.
Really,
it's a real thing. It's like something you can't control. It's.
Like,
you
even
know.
Leg hair and stuff. Like, no, it was a thing. Like, anything that could be made fun of you was going to be made fun of when I was growing up.
Yes. Yes. Totally true. Now, how do you deal with the insecurity now? I'm just kidding. I'm messing around. Sorry about that one. Anyway, let's, that was my cafeteria story, though. Like, I was known, I was like the milk guy. And now I almost never drink dairy. I put cream in my coffee, but outside of that, I'm like a alternative milk sort of fella. But back then, speaking of which, this March you can boost your own game with Chalk, the reigning champion natural men's health. Max out your testosterone, energy, and focus. There you go, Jay Stu. Right, lower that voice with Chalk's male vitality stack. Visit chok.com today. Use the code Doug, 35% off any subscription for life. All right, so Here's Aaron Rodgers. This was on McAfee, wasn't it? Okay, this is. Remember when Aaron Rodgers was on Pat McAfee? He said, like, "Hey, look, you know, they didn't reach out to me. They didn't talk to me. I went into this darkness retreat. I come out, and now they're talking about moving on." Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the Packers, here's what he had to say.
Yeah, come out of the season, you have a lot of conversations, not only with Aaron, but with the rest of the team, coaches, and everybody. And as you go through that process, you kind of get an idea of where you're going to move to, you know, as a team, how you're going to go forward. And I think I was really looking forward to the conversations with Aaron to see how he fit into that. Those never transpired. You know, as we got out of the offseason or after the season, and we had a good conversation, and then, you know, we're going to have some follow-up conversations. And our inability to reach him or for him to respond in any way, I think at that point, then we just kind of had to, I had to do my job and kind of reach out and understanding that a trade could be possible and see who was interested.
Yeah, so we tried to reach out and he didn't call back. He did what he does to people, which is he ghosts him. He's a ghoster. That's his deal. You know? You know, he didn't try and get a hold of me. And then all of a sudden I look up at my phone after 5 days in retreat and you're moving on. Well, what do you expect people to do? What do you expect people to do? I think it's funny that, you know, Charles Robinson obviously has talked to the Jets people. They were like, you know, here's what we'll do. If Aaron Rodgers plays a second year, then the trade thing will increase from a second round pick to a first round pick. No one has any idea if Aaron Rodgers is going to play a second year, let alone if he'll make it through the entire year. There's zero chance the Jets do that. Oh, hey, let's wait to see if he plays a second year, and then that'll be a trade value. Like, nah, not doing that. I can guarantee that's a non-starter. I struggle ghosting people. I mean, there's like probably three people on my phone that are blocked, but that's just because they're crazy people that I barely know. And I'm good. Buyer, have you ghosted anybody? Is there anybody who's reached out to you multiple times and you haven't called them back?
Not that I can think of completely. No. No, there's maybe I'll wait two or three times and then call them back till they reach out to me, but not a complete ghosting that I'm gone and done.
Okay, so what's your pattern on that person that you clearly don't want to call back? Do you like, okay, I'm going to give it 5 minutes and then I got to go. I'm going to have my wife. Is Lisa going to go like, hey, Dad, come help me out with this? What's your process?
So if it is someone that I'm trying to phase out,
yes,
it is, okay, maybe not. I won't respond the first call, but then they'll call back again and maybe I'll respond on the second or third one. Maybe that's the case, but that's calling. Like, I'm not a text guy. Like, I'm the worst at texting. So please do not take my ignoring of texts as a phasing out. It's just, I am not a text guy, but it's the calling that is much more easier to do. And then I'll maybe call the person and then that'll be that. And then if they try it again and I don't call until the third time, it just kind of naturally happens.
What about you, Jay Stu? What do you do? Dust somebody, you know, ghost somebody.
No, I'm not good at it at all. I like get sick to my stomach. If I see a message in my inbox that hasn't been responded to, I don't know if you guys see like those company emails that you'll get like three or four on a group email and somebody will ask a question and nobody responds to it. And I'm not necessarily the person that should be answering, but I get like sick to my stomach when I just see that in the inbox. So when somebody has sent me a message, I almost immediately respond back. That's just the way I am. That's how I'm built. So people who aren't built that way, I typically get aggravated with. And it's probably irrational because people just take a certain time to get back to you. But if I really want to phase you out of my life, as Dan puts it, or really don't want to talk to you, I don't know what my pattern is. I don't really have an established pattern for that.
Ramos, you don't take me as a guy who ghosts people or dusts people out of your life, but is there anybody that you like, hey, I just, negative energy, you're out?
Just the credit card people who want money, like the minimum payment.
Oh, solicitors?
Yeah, so like, I see Citibank pop up on my phone, I'm like, yeah, not right now, guys.
What if it's like fraud alert?
You know, when Brian Gutekunst said yesterday that they had tried to reach out to Rodgers multiple times and that there was no response and he did not connect and he didn't reply, I immediately thought, well, Aaron Rodgers is lying. And then I thought, maybe the truth is somewhere in between. And we have all done this. So let's just say, I'll use John as the perfect example. Like, John has softball practice, say, five between 5 and 7 o'clock. Well, if I don't want John to, you know, answer the phone, guess what I'm calling him? Between 5 and 7 o'clock. And so, like, that's what I wondered, like, were the Packers like, wait till he goes in the darkness, then call his phone 7 times so you have receipts, and then when he didn't answer, you could say, well, we tried to reach out, we didn't hear anything, so we decided to move on. Like, that's what I wondered, like, and I'm, listen to me sticking up for Aaron Rodgers here. I just, well, I wondered if maybe they were like, okay, this is how we can go about it.
I look, do I think there's the possibility that the truth is somewhere in the middle? Yeah. But I, again, and maybe I'm taking too liberally what he said, but it does feel like season's over. We tried to figure out like where he stood. There was plenty of time there where there was a
sure.
very reasonable time to reach out. Hey, you want to talk about this? And, you know, they want to give him space, but at some point you still want to touch base. I agree with you. There are times which you can call people. I have people that call me when I'm on air, like every day, like, dude, what? Like, how do you not know this stuff? And then sometimes you're like, okay, maybe they're doing it, you know, texting me on air knowing that I'm not going to look at it. So I'll look at it when I'm done. I don't know. But it's a possible out for Aaron Rodgers. Although it feels unlikely if we take the Packers at their word. Like, you know, we reached out a couple times and we reached out a couple more. Like, we're trying to get, it just feels annoying. You know? And oh yeah, by the way, like if his whole narrative is, well, something changed, they moved off of me while I was in darkness, like imagine if you're them. You're like, hey, we're trying to get a hold of you to see where your head's at, and all we get is straight to voicemail. Like, all right, at some point, if you don't reach back out to us, you're telling us where your head's at.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all.
For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I just learned Discover Cards is something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double your cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned doubled cash back on trips, restaurants, all doubled. Seriously, though. See terms. Check it out for yourself. Discover.com. You guys remember John Harbaugh? He said at the end of the season, 200% chance Lamar Jackson be on the team next year. He sat down with Tom Pelissero. Of course, this is yesterday after Lamar tweeted out that he had requested a trade on March 2nd. Here's Harbaugh.
Right after the season, you did the press conference, and you said something along the lines of it was a 1,000% chance, 200% chance he's going to be the quarterback. And you also said, we want Lamar to be a Raven. Lamar wants to be a Raven.
Right.
All of this kind of negotiating stuff aside, do you believe in your heart of hearts, number one, that he still wants to be a Raven, and number two, that he will be starting for you week one?
Yeah, I mean, when he said 100%, 200% want him to be a Raven, and I believe it's going to happen, and you prepare that way, you know, like, but obviously what goes with that is you don't know what the future holds. I mean, none of us do. So, but I know he's a good guy. I know he loves to play. I know one thing, if he's lining up there in the purple and black, he's going to be all in.
So obviously he dodged answering that question because it may be an impossible question to answer. All right, let's get to Charles Robinson, NFL senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports. He also hosts You Pod to Win the Game. That's a tremendous podcast you should download if you want to know anything about the NFL. What's the league's reaction to Lamar's tweet yesterday that he had asked to be traded March 2nd?
It's a good question. I don't think in terms of teams around the league, it really changed anything. I think they all knew, look, when he was allowed to basically negotiate with teams under the unrestricted franchise tag, that you're effectively saying we're potentially open to moving this guy. Now, I don't think there's any team out there that believes right now that Baltimore would ever let him go for the two first round picks compensation that they would likely match. but I do think that what Lamar did signaled a couple of things. Number one, he's willing to take this to a much more public level than he has before, engaging in this kind of, you know, outward narrative. And then number two, he can engage in a knife fight. Like, that was sort of the question. Can Lamar the agent represent Lamar the player the way another high-level agent would in contract negotiations? Well, what he did was very much an agent type of move. You put the tweet out right when you know John Harbaugh is going to talk, forces him to address it, changes the narrative at a time where, you know, the coach has to be available to speak on it. I think from that standpoint, it was an impressive move tactically from him. Does it change anything? I don't know that it does. But what we're hearing from Lamar and John Harbaugh, it's interesting. I kind of compare it to, like, you've got friends that are going through a divorce. One of them wants to stay in the marriage, and they're telling their story. And then you have one that wants out of the marriage, and they're telling their story. And you're sitting there trying to figure out, like, where is this really headed between these two people? And that's kind of where they are right now. I think Lamar wants out. I do. I think he wants the divorce. I think John Harbaugh doesn't. And if you ask me if they part company, what resolves it, I would bet a team calling with three first-round picks would be a conversation starter. I just don't know what team that is that would exist in that realm right now.
Right, because to get there, you have to not only give up those picks, but then you also have to operate on the understanding that you're going to give him somewhere in the neighborhood of the contract that he wants, which
right.
I don't know that there's anybody who wants to do that, right? Even Jim Irsay, who everyone knows needs a quarterback, he's like, right. I got no problem with the dollars. It's just I'm not giving the fully guaranteed. Basically, you know, guaranteed. He said, I don't like fully guaranteed contracts. He means 5 years. He doesn't mean like three. People will do, you know, right. Three and then two add-on years. So
yeah, and that's look, Doug. That's part of right now. I think that's what's frustrating me about the narrative out there, that where you have like analysts talking about this and like people are saying, well, is race involved or is it this or is it that? And I can just tell you straight up, like teams are looking at him and they're saying, here's a guy who part of his game is depreciation. Like running is a depreciating aspect in the NFL. It's a depreciating asset. So it will be for Josh Allen. It will be for every other quarterback that has, even Justin Fields, there will be a point where it becomes a depreciating asset. It usually happens after year five or six. It starts to go downhill. And he's there. And he's ended two straight seasons with injuries. He told us last season the reason he didn't play in the playoffs, really kind of derailed things for Baltimore, was because it was a serious injury. A lot of people kind of clucked their tongues and said, well, you know, no, it's a negotiating tactic or whatever. No, listen to him. Take him for his word. He says it was a serious injury. Okay, well, now factor that into the future and the contract you would offer him. So you can't say, hey, I just suffered a serious injury. No, this is real. I wasn't setting out to preserve value. And then on the other hand say, no, but I'm fine. Give me a fully, guaranteed contract because, Deshaun Watson got it in Cleveland and everyone universally agrees that was a terrible contract done in Cleveland.
Yeah, it reminds me of the Darrelle Revis thing, right? Where the Jets said, hey, we think he's the best cornerback in the league. He's like, well, I want more money than Nnamdi Osmanwy, who was the highest paid guy by like $4 million. And we're like, the Nnamdi Osmanwy deal is a bad deal. Why do we have to replicate a bad deal? That doesn't make any sense, you know?
Right.
And so, go ahead.
Let's look backward at one thing real quick. You could argue the Kirk Cousins deal when Minnesota did that deal was a bad deal. But here's the thing. Kirk Cousins signed for 3 years. Okay. So I think teams would be okay engaging in a quote unquote bad deal if Lamar was like, yeah, that's fine. I'll do a 3-year deal. You just give me a 3-year fully guaranteed deal for $150 million. Maybe that would be a different situation. But right now, that's not what's been on the table. And he has not given an indication that that's the kind of deal he would want.
Okay, so I guess the issue is, people think, okay, well, after the draft, teams will be interested. Like, no, they won't. After the draft, they'll be set.
It's, if you ask me a window, like what window makes sense, after the draft makes sense, because then you have a different kind of pressure applied. Right now you have teams that are sitting there, particularly at the top of the draft, they're saying, well, we're going through our process. We feel like we're going to have our quarterback, yada, yada, yada. And so I would look at Indianapolis in particular. Indianapolis is sitting there at 4. A lot of people have them pegged for Anthony Richardson. We'll see. But if they come out of the draft, if something, there's a left-hand turn either in their evaluation or something changes where, let's say Richardson isn't there at 4, something unexpected happens and Richardson isn't there at 4. Then on the other side of the draft, there's an additional layer of pressure that's now applied. You didn't get your quarterback. Now what do you do? But that doesn't exist now. So I'm saying there could be a window after the draft, but I'm with you. It's not this guarantee that that's really where the rubber meets the road. It's a possibility, not a guarantee.
Well, and then there's the aspect of this. The Ravens could have him with no negotiation for the next 3 years and with franchise tags. No negotiation. Like they have under no, there's no, listen, the only thing it does is it screws up their cap a little bit, but if you sign into a new deal, it's going to screw up your cap a little bit anyway. Right. So one of the first 2 years of it, depending on how you structure it, like there's no motivation for them to have to trade him.
They have leverage. I mean, there's no question. And I think people have to also understand about this when people are up in arms about, well, why is he getting a deal? Why is he getting a deal? Look at these last deals that other players got. Well, the two kind of quote-unquote landmark deals that have been landed, again, go back to the Kirk Cousins deal when he landed what had been at that time the richest contract in NFL history when he got the 3-year fully guaranteed deal from the Minnesota Vikings. I think it was, 84? And then Deshaun Watson. Well, what happened in those two scenarios? And this isn't going away. They played leverage into their hands. Kirk Cousins went through the tag. Washington said, nothing we can do. Got to let him walk. There you go. Unfettered free agency. You're out there. You get the biggest deal, despite being, at that point, maybe a fringy top 10 quarterback statistically. And then you look at Deshaun Watson. He got into a situation where he sat out an entire season, said, I'm never going to play for you again. you know, the civil cases and whatnot, we'll set that to the side in the equation. But, you know, at the end of the day, four teams came to the table. And even among those four teams, and this can't be overlooked, the one that gave them the deal was the one that was eliminated in the process. They were told, you're out. And to get back in, they had to do what? Go above and beyond what anybody else thought they could. Those two scenarios are what doled out the kind of contract Lamar Jackson wants. If he wants that kind of a deal, he has to create a kind of scenario that fits that model.
Did we lose Charles for a second there? We'll try and get him back in 1 second.
Oh, you still there?
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. As we continue with Charles Robinson, senior NFL writer from Yahoo Sports. Do we have him back?
You got me back?
Okay, I'm not getting him back. Okay, there we go. There we go, Charles.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay, so Charles, help me out here. Aaron Rodgers, you broke this, right? Asking prices changed. Where are we with the Aaron Rodgers to the Jets deal?
So they're close. And the way it's stacked up right now is I think the Jets would be comfortable giving up 2 second-round picks, one this year, one next year, and then the second-round pick that's in 2024 – they would be comfortable having some kind of built-in team performance escalator that could push it to being a first-round pick. Say they host a divisional playoff game, they go to the AFC title game, whatever. Some kind of escalator that makes it achievable for the Packers to get the first-round pick that they really want out of this. But to do that, the Jets want to know they're going to have him for more than 1 year. So they're basically saying to the Packers, look, give us some protection on the back end of this, okay? If he doesn't play in 2024 and you still get your second and first round pick out of this, we want some kind of a give back in the 2025 draft. We want some asset that you're going to give us in case this guy dips out after 1 year. And the reason they're doing that is because Aaron Rodgers went out publicly and said, I went into the darkness retreat 90% retired. That caused a problem and created a wave. And so now they, you know, the Jets want some kind of protection on the backside for that, because let's be real, if you're giving up a first and a second round pick and you're only getting one season out of that, that's foolish. It's not equitable whatsoever, no matter, you know, I mean, you basically have to win the Super Bowl in that scenario. So basically they just want protection on the back end in that 2025 window if Rodgers chooses not to play in 2024. Right now the Packers are reticent to give to him. I will bet you this ends up getting done. I will bet you inside of a week we will see this deal come to fruition.
Okay, if that's your prediction, what's your prediction on Lamar Jackson?
I don't think he signs, and I don't think a team comes to the table with three first-round picks with a contract demand. So I think we're going to go into July, and he's going to be staring at signing his tag and playing on the tag. I don't know. I don't see the market out there. I don't understand. So far, there's no sign that there's a market for a team giving up three first rounders and the contract on top of it for him, given the injuries of the last two seasons. And the fact that a lot of teams have quarterbacks right now that they feel like they're ready to roll with in 2023. That's another thing too, that people are forgetting. Go down the list. There are a lot of teams out there. I would have put them in Atlanta, but Atlanta wants to see what Desmond Ritter's got. I mean, what can I say?
Well, there's also this, what I think people are missing on, okay, is all of these teams are built when you have a quarterback on a rookie deal, right?
Right.
That's how you build a team. And then, you know, if your quarterback's good enough, you give him, Pat Mahomes, you give him an extension. Maybe you lose a Tyreek Hill or whatever. Like, you're going to have to lose some guys because the quarterback's making so much money. You know, Josh Allen becomes good enough. But again, that team was built when he wasn't making any money, okay?
Right.
So of the teams that have the desire, maybe even the desperation, right now it doesn't match up. Like, Indy is it feels like they're in rebuild mode, right? We got a running back we like, we got some pieces we like, but we really kind of got to redo this whole thing.
Right.
But you can't rebuild it if you have a quarterback making more money than everybody else and you got to give away 2-3 first round picks. Like, it just doesn't marry up.
Yeah, it's difficult because I think when Cleveland gave Watson the deal that they did, they felt like the surrounding roster was in good enough shape that once he played a full season for them, they were going to be a contending team. Now we'll see if that's actually going to happen this year, but I would agree. I would say that the few teams that could potentially be interested in him are probably further away at this point. Although, you know, again, I still think Atlanta would be viable. I think Washington would be viable. I think those would both be viable playoff teams with him in the fold. You know, Indy, I don't know. There's still quite a bit of work to do there to retool that roster. So, you know, maybe that's a little bit different. But, you know, maybe if I were really questioning why he's languishing a little bit, I'd probably look at Washington more than anything. But the difference with Washington is what? They're going through the middle of a sale right now. So it's not, you know, the timing to add a player like Lamar Jackson. It's, you know, Dan Snyder's not going to do it. And, you know, what, you have the Harris Mitchell group that could potentially be buying him. You have Steve Apostolop. I'm going to, you know, I've tried to say Steve's name a million times. The Canadian billionaire. I would say Canadian billionaire Steve.
Apostolopoulos?
Apostolopoulos. Yes. We're going to have, if he gets it, we're going to have years to work on that. So, you know, you can't, I just don't think you make that move with him in the midst of that kind of thing. So, yeah, I don't know. I think he's going to have to decide whether or not he wants to, you know, play on the tag or sit out. I couldn't possibly see him sitting out because $32 million versus what Deshaun Watson was risking at the time, $10 million plus to sit out, and they still paid him anyway. Completely different scenarios in terms of the sit out avenue.
Charles, awesome stuff, man. Really, really good. I love listening to your pod. It's called You Pod to Win the Game. Read his work, Yahoo Sports. Appreciate you joining us as always.
Steve Apostolopoulos. We're going to get it, all right?
I'd like to buy a vowel.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.